I don't know who that is, right? I hope there's a couple of you. And I also want to welcome another group of people. I want to welcome the people who are here despite of your circumstances. I was thinking when I was sitting there, God kind of put it on my heart like a snow globe. You know, some of y'all might know. When I was a kid, we had snow globes. I broke some. I'd always try to take the thing out of them, or, you know. But what a snow globe. You took it and you shook it upside down. And you turn it over and you watch the stuff, there's like snow or whatever fall down. But some of you are here and it felt like the world's been turned upside down. And you've been shook. And what your life is, was, or what you thought it was, is falling down all around you. And you came to church anyway. That's God. And we're glad you made it. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Take your Bibles, go to James chapter 1. I want to let y'all know something this morning. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not. I want you to know that. I want you to know this. I want you to know I'm going to preach something to you that I believe that you could use. I don't know if you got ready and got dressed up and took a shower and put on deodorant and makeup, and perfume, and cologne just to get here to leave, but if you did, you came to the wrong place. I want to preach to you. I want to share something with you that can help you be a better believer, or something that would help you become a believer. As you're turning to James chapter 1, verse 12, I want to give you something before you get there. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Yeah, I read that right. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward had hungered." Verse 3, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And here's another place in the Scriptures that says this, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." That means when you're broken and you're a mess, God can be reached by you. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Listen to this next verse. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." If you're in a place where your life is broken and sin has raged and temptation has taken over, the Bible did not say run, hide, scurry away, cover up, be in guilt, shame, condemnation. It says come boldly. Whew. Some of y'all need to stand up and show up and say, "God, I'm coming boldly to the throne of grace." The devil expected you to run away. He expected you to give up and give in. He expected you to spiral out of control. Instead, do what he thought you wouldn't do. Praise him. Study him. Seek him. Repent. Stand up on the grace of God. Now I'm going to give you some tools to do all that. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 12. I preach in a lot of recovery places, a lot of places where people are dealing with drug addiction and alcohol addiction and things such as this. It's much as needed in the church as it is here, this message. I preach this a lot in those places. In jails. It's needed in the church just as much as it's needed there. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Every time I see that, I think of an Olympic athlete. I'm not an Olympic athlete. You might have aspirations to be an athlete sometime in your life, but Olympic athlete will train for their whole life for 10 seconds. Will train their whole life for one routine. Will train their whole life for one period in their life that they could stand on the stage and receive a medal for their reward. They have to go through some things. Don't eat that. Don't touch that. Don't do this. Don't go with all your friends when they're going. Get up early. Work out. Do the routine. Do the routine. Do the routine. Take injury. Take wounds. Take scars. Man, and practice and practice and practice. Show up when nobody else will show up. And guess what? I mean, you're tempted every morning. Man, that clock comes on. I don't want to get up. I don't want to stretch. I don't want to do the same routine. I don't want to eat that way. I don't want to do that. But you know what? When you get the reward, some of you need to stop looking at the temptation and start looking towards the reward. I have failed in temptation. I have fallen squarely in temptation. I know what the reward for that is. Listen, the Bible's saying if you know Jesus, if you know Him, learn to go past the sin, go past the temptation, go past, you got to look at it and say, wait a minute, I know what that is. That's going to deter me from where I want to go, what I want to have, what I want to experience, what I think of my life in the future, what God has for me. I want to press past this temptation. Your body will scream out, give up. Give in. You're lonely. You're tired. You're hungry. You need this. But you need to look past the temptation and look for the reward. Wouldn't it be awesome for God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Can I go a little shorter than that, though? Can I go a little bit on this side? Man, it's sometimes, can I just preach to you? I don't know how else to explain this to you. I feel like I get in church. I become churchy. I want to explain this to you. It feels great to be tempted with a sin or something that you want to do really badly. Golly, is there anybody in here to be? I don't know. Everybody in the earth is like, I don't know what you're talking about, brother. I mean, if you ever get tempted to do something, say something, react to something, to eat something, touch something, golly. And you're sitting there and everything. Man, let me tell you something. It's amazing to be tempted and trust God and surpass it and get on the other side of it and look back at it and go, whoa, my gosh, I didn't do it. I didn't lie. I didn't steal. I didn't cheat. I didn't give in. Oh, my gosh, I'm on the other side of it. And you don't see the repercussions of falling into the temptation. Man, if you ain't done that, it is one of the most amazing feelings in the world. And let me tell you something. God will reward that. He will reward that. He will bless that. This says, start off, the man who goes through, endures in temptation is a blessed man or woman. You will look on the other side of it and go, man, I'm so glad that I didn't fall into that. Because if you just wait long enough, if you just wait long enough, you might see somebody else who falls into it, and you don't get to say, man, I'm better than them. You get to look at them and say, man, that could have been me. And you know what you do? You go to that person, and you get down on their level. You get down there right with them, and you pray through, and you help them get out of it. Oh, amen, brother. I'm going to preach. I don't care if you want it or not. Amen. Listen to this. Verse 13. I'm going to give you some identification of sin or temptation. Let me give you some truths about it. Let no man say when he was tempted, I'm tempted of God. Hello. Write this down. God didn't do that. God don't tempt you with evil. God don't give you another way that's against His word and against His ways. God don't ever show up and say, let's take a shortcut. Let's go the devil's way. He never shows up and says, hey, it's time to move in with somebody else. He never shows up and says, hey, guess what? Let's start lying to everybody. Hey, let's start stealing from everybody. Let's start being jealous of everybody. Let's just start talking about everybody behind their back. God never does that. Amen, preacher. God never does that. He never tempts you with evil. Never. That's not God's work. Listen to this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Let me show you how you're tempted. Man, I hate this because it's a place for me to look at. But every man is tempted, but every woman is tempted, but everybody is tempted when they are drawn away of their own lust and enticed. The only thing the devil does, we give the devil so much more credit than he really desires. All the devil does is set the trap. Anybody back there say amen every once in a while? Just let me know you're breathing. Listen, hey, listen. All he does is set the trap. And he sets the trap for you. I'd like to come in here and run a list of things that I would like to call temptation, but I probably would miss some. But everybody in this room knows how you're tempted. And I hate to tell you this, but the devil knows how you're tempted too. So when he's setting the trap, he's looking for your trail, he's looking for your smell, he's looking for where you like to go and like what you like, what you've done. He sets it by the places where you eat and the places where you drink. Amen? If any trappers in here, you know what I'm talking about. You got to look for the trails that the animals run on. Amen? So all he does is come along and set something that you like in the trap. Be weary, be smart, be intelligent about it. Listen, the things you like shouldn't just be laying around everywhere. Here's what I like to say in the real world. I say, it's too good to be true, it's not true. Amen? If all of a sudden she's talking to you like, no, never mind. You're so handsome, you're so strong, you're so this, and you know you're none of the above. Amen? Right? There might be a problem. Amen? And all of a sudden, you just walk up on that and somebody, man, I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be a sweet deal. All you've got to do is do this, this, and this, and we can take this money, and we can get this money. It's a great deal. Hey, we ain't got to tell nobody. No, 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 don't tell the IRS. No, no, don't tell the boss. We're going to do this. Hey, that sounds like a great plan. Free money! That's all we heard. Right? Listen, sometimes, every time, all the time, it's too good to be true. It's usually the devil setting a trap. Setting a trap for you. He sets it with what you like, not what somebody else likes. Stop worrying about what everybody else likes. I can't believe they did drugs. I can't believe they look at pornography. I can't believe they have that. Listen, don't be so judgmental, because guess what? You got one of those too. Amen. You got one of the devil's got a trap package for you. Amen. He knows how to put it on the trap. And if the truth be told, some of y'all walk with a limp because you went in the trap. Some of y'all walk with a limp and you're missing a finger because you went back into the same trap that you said you'd never get into again. Man, not physical. Spiritual. Oh, man, I wish we could have an altar call right now, couldn't we? Remember when you said, I'll never do that again. I ain't never going to pay the price like that again. I'd never do that. And you know what? All the devil does is find the other trail you've been running on, sets the same trap. It might look a little bit different. It might have a different kind of dress or a different kind of suit or a different kind of hair. Same stuff. You don't think the devil sets traps in churches? You think he only sets them up at the bar and the club and the workplace? You don't think he'll lay traps in here? I'm lonely, I'm desperate, I'm tired, I'm hungry. Nobody's paying attention to me. Oh, I'm sorry. If y'all don't watch out, you'll push me into a place where I'll preach like I should preach to you. Amen? Because we'll like church stuff. We're like, oh, that never happens to me. That never happens to my kids. That'll never happen to my family. I hate to tell you, but it's probably already going on. He sets the trap. And then guess what? You're dragged. Have you ever felt like you've been dragged to sin? Like something's pulling you? Be real. I've been here. Like he's pulling you. Like you, something's pulling. Like you're in a tractor beam. Like you've been pulled in, and the mothership's pulling me in. I don't want to go. I didn't want to see. I said I'd never go again. And here you are. You're running right down to the. I'm somehow being pulled into this. That's why when you get caught, when you get in trouble, you say it was an accident. It was a mistake. I never planned. No, you didn't plan. You got dragged. Amen? You got dragged, baited, dragged, and trapped, enticed. That means the snare slams shut. And when it slams shut, baby, it's bad. Baby, it's bad. You acting cool in here. You look good in here. But, man, when you let the trap slam shut on you, man, then I like to hear you. Some of y'all put some good voice. Y'all come to church. Amen. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. God, I'm good, brother. Good, sis. God bless you. But when the trap slams shut, I like to hear some of you then. Beep, 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 beep. If you don't know what the beeps are, get in the altar. Ain't nobody like somebody coming. I meet you in the church. I've been meet you out on the road. You don't know what I've been through. Shut your mouth. I hated you anyway. man of God, whatever. No, y'all so y'all clean in here. Get in some trouble. Let the thing shut. A wounded animal screams out. A wounded animal gets, and they get defensive. Roll up on a coyote or something's been trapped in a trap. Just reach your hand down there and say, you doing all right? You all right, buddy? Huh? You all right? You'll lose something. Hey, man. Some of y'all wonder why people act the way they are because they've been slammed in the trap and they don't know how to react. They're just trying to live. But listen, take this advice. If you've been slammed in the trap, do you really have to get in it again? No. I don't care how good the trap set anymore. I can walk up to the trap and go, no, because the teeth hurt. Simple, the teeth hurt. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Verse 15 is a non-changeable equation. Write that down. That never changes. With your lust and sin, when it gets together, it's going to bring forth a child, and that thing's going to be death. And I don't care if everything becomes legal. I don't care if the world says it's all right. I don't care if your mom and daddy's all right with it. I don't even care if your church is all right with it. If God calls it a sin and you're lusting for it and it hooks up, you're having a baby, baby. And that's going to be a death baby. Some of you say, well, what's going to die? Your name. Your testimony, some things you cherish and love very much, some desires, some dreams, some hopes, futures, they're going to be gone faster than you can say, man, what happened? You say, how do you know this stuff, Kevin? Or did they give this to you at some kind of preacher's class? No. I hate to tell you this. I fell into enough of them. I've had enough of these sin babies myself. It's embarrassing to have them. Because guess what? You walk up and guess what happens? People think your name becomes a proverb. Hey, Kevin, will you run to the store? No, we ain't letting Kevin run to the store. Can't trust him. Amen? Hey, we can give him the money. No, I ain't giving him the money. Amen? Can't trust him. Hey, man, let's trust him with some other thing. Let's trust him with a word. Let's trust him with their name. Let's trust him with it. Nope, your name becomes a proverb. You ever been there? I'm going to be honest with you. God done something amazing for me, and I'm not going to ruin it. He took my old garbage name and put it under the blood and put his name on my name. Some of you say, why won't you mess up? Because I ain't trying not to mess my name up no more. I'm trying not to mess his name up. Amen? Once he put it on me, I ain't going to sit there and go, well, you know what's something to play with. It ain't. I'm trying to keep that name as clean as I can. Notice I said as clean as I can. If it needs washing again, I almost did it. You need washing again? I'm going to get right there on that altar. Some of y'all need to come for a washing. Amen? And I'm not talking about getting your sins forgiven unto salvation. I'm talking about coming back and saying, God, I need some washing. I need some cleansing. I ain't even got to the where I'm wanting to preach my message. I'm sorry. This is just some preliminary stuff that we wanted to get to. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift is and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Here's where I wanted to get to. This is the meat of the message. And I hope you can take it and put it in your tool belt as a Christian and become a super Christian. I don't know if there's such a thing, but I like to think I'm a Christian, I got this belt, this utility belt with all these tools on it, and I'm about to give you some tools in your tool belt. Because you are going to be tempted, and you are going to be tried. But here are some things, here are some ways for you not to be drowned by the temptation. Here are some ways where you don't get so caught up in it that you forget who you are. I mean, are you ready? Have I gave you enough time to breathe because we're about to get into the real part of the message? Good. All right. Good. Watch this. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Hallelujah. Now listen. Stop. Stop. Full stop. Look up here at me. Look right at me. You're being tempted. You're going through a trial right now. Okay? Let's just say that. We're being tempted. We're going through a trial. Maybe you're at the very beginning of it, the middle of it, or the end of it. I don't know. But you're going through a trial. Listen to this. Be swift to hear. Golly, do you hear that? What does that mean? Shut down everything. Open up both of these portals right here and listen for truth and for Christ and seek it very, very much. You get it? Shut down this. Open these two and be like a satellite plane. AWACS plane. You're just soaking up information from God and truth. Shut down all the lies. Shut down all the misconception. Shut down all the manipulation. Shut your own mind and words down. Thank you. I was waiting for that one. Shut your own mind and words. Shut your mouth. Be slow to speak. Did you hear that? Here, I'm giving you tools. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Why is it going to be important for you to be slow speaking? Because everything that's going to be coming out is going to be a defense. It's going to come from the hurt. It's going to come from the trial. It's going to come from the temptation. And it's probably going to be tainted. And you're doing more damage than you are good. You don't know what I've been. You don't know what I've been. You don't know my side. You don't know. Just shut up! And just listen. That made me mad. Tell me to shut up. I didn't. The Word of God said to shut up. Or at least slow your words down. You should be hearing twice as much as you're speaking. Watch this. Watch this. You want another one? Watch this. If I can find the word. I know. I just can't find it. 19, thank you. I got so many marks in there, I couldn't see. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? Look, verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Why are you being slow to wrath now? When you get, remember when I said the trap shuts? And you're going to go up there and pet that coyote. Hey, buddy. Hey, Wolfie, what's going on? Right? When that trap shuts, you're going to be angry. And mad and hurt and everything. Man, the more angry you get, the devil's sitting over there going, yes! Because the things you will do in anger will ruin and crush everybody. It'll crush you. It'll crush them. It'll crush the whole. And you're sitting over there thinking, man, this is exactly what I should be doing. I should be just wearing people out because I'm so angry. But you're not doing the work of God. You can be angry and be quiet. You can be angry and let it settle. You can be angry and let God work it out. If you'll listen more, speak less, and wait. And don't let the anger, because once the anger gets out and you start burning everything down, oh gosh, I'm preaching. Have you ever burned everything down and then you're wondering when you go back why it's all so bad? Because when you were so angry, you just torched everybody and there's no place for you to go back and get forgiveness. There's no place for mercy. There's no place for grace. You can't go back and say, I'm sorry. No, you said stuff that would just annihilate them. You just plowed them into the ground. Whew. I don't know if y'all have ever been through sin before. I have. Even when I've been right, I didn't have the right to plow people under. And definitely when I was wrong, I've been on the wrong side of it. You can tell yourself, you're right even when you're wrong. You can be as wrong as can be and start telling a story to make you sound right. And by the end of it, you've ruined everybody, but you're sitting here every night going home, looking up at the ceiling, going, man, you know what? I'm so angry and mad, but the person I need to be maddest about is me. Because I'm the one who did all this. But I got everybody believing it was... I hate to be real like it with you, but I don't know how else to be. Man, you know what? I was so worried about this message. I thought about it first thing this morning. I said, man, I better not go in there and preach that this morning. This is a celebration. We're going to have baptism. We're going to have food. Man, some people not might stick around. I'd rather you go home mad. I'm serious. I'd rather you be mad at me. Really, you ain't going to be mad at me because I'm just delivering the mail. I'm just dropping it off. I don't ever get mad at the mailman because the bills show up. I get mad. Man. Listen to this. You want some more tools to get rid of this? Right on the verge? That's how you stop doing it right there. Watch this. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. You hear me? You got to get rid of the filthiness. Because you got to do an inventory. You got to look around and say, wait a minute, what is God really not pleased with? Is there some filth? Now listen, he didn't call it sin. He called it filthiness. That used to be an old school. You got some filthy. You're filthy. Filthy mouth, filthy mind. God, that's old school, ain't it? You got some filthiness in your life? God says, get it out. Watch this right here. You ready? I love this King James version right here on this. And the superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity of naughtiness. You know what that means? Excess, a huge amount of wickedness, overflowing wickedness. When you get rid of the naughtiness, when you get rid of the nastiness, when you get rid of that, then you go back and there's still some left over. There's still some running out. Oh, my gosh. Y'all better watch out. Y'all look good in here. Y'all look clean in here. Y'all are nice. But some of you, man, wickedness, right? You get, oh, I got rid of the filthiness. That real bad stuff. I got rid of it. I burned it, hid it, threw it out. But there's some stuff that runs out. Amen? Like a hazardous spill. See, sin's like a hazardous chemical. When you handle it, it gets everywhere. You got to come in and you got to go through the whole area and you got to figure out what it infected. Did it hit your husband? Did it hit your wife? Did it hit your kids? Oh, y'all look so spiritual this morning. I'm serious. Sin gets everywhere. You got to go back in and do a mop-up duty. You got to go in and say, wait a minute, was it over here? It's like Pharaoh, the frogs got in everything. It got in the cookery, got in the closets, got in the bedroom, got in the bathroom. If I'm not mistaken, praise God, when you get rid of all the wickedness and the filthiness, you got to go doing in the nooks and crannies because sin will hide out. It'll get in the corner, wait on you. Hide in the back closet. Stay in a box for 20 years. Whoops. Well, look at there. Amen. Wherefore lay apart all the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Why? Because if you do, you can receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Why do you got to get rid of the wickedness and the naughtiness and the nastiness? Why do you got to do it? It's because it acts like earplugs. See, listen, I'm. Here's where the real meat of this message is coming in. You come in the house of God, and you say, man, that's a good word. That's a good worship. That's a good song. Man, I'm good. I'm right there on it. But what happens is you still got that wickedness and that nastiness out here. And guess what? It acts like an earplug. It only lets the word get on the surface. It don't let it get in. Amen? Let me go ahead and finish that thought because this is where we want to get to. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. It's good to come to church. It's good to learn. It's good to worship. But praise God, if you're only eating and never exercising, you're going to be in trouble. Don't be somebody who comes in here and consumes and says, man, that's great, and then goes out of here and does nothing with it. Come in here and live like heaven and go home and live like hell. Come in here and say, man, that would be a great word for my husband. That'd be a great word for my wife. That'd be a great word for somebody. That's a great word for you if you'll go home and apply it. Because all the great message in the world, if you don't apply it, won't change nothing. He said, be a doer. Listen to this. Watch this. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He's like, I don't even know who you are. You come in here and you look in the mirror, you look in the word, and the word exposes you. And it changes you. And you're like, man, that's what I needed. Then you walk out that door and you're like, who am I? You go back to the same house, same job, same friends, same stuff, doing the same thing, and you got the Word of God all trapped up in your mind, but you won't let it go. Things got to change around here. Some of y'all need to do that. Some things need to change around here. You've got a big marker, and you're like, made it to church. Got it. That ain't church. Church is supposed to infect and bleed out all over your life. You're supposed to be more church at home than you are here. You're supposed to come here and be kind of wrecked. You're supposed to come here and say, I want. Feed me. Worship Him. Do this. If you're not careful, you'll walk out of here and you'll say, man, that was a good word. Still cussing your wife out. She's still cussing you out. And the kids are cussing both of you out. Amen? I shouldn't have said it like that. But I've lost all kinds of trying to make you my friend anymore today. They don't know how to act. Yeah, they don't know how to act because you ain't taught them nothing. Listen to this. For he that beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner that he was. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And listen, you don't want to hear this, and I don't want to say, let's all stand up as he comes to get a song. I want you to hear this. From now on, listen to me. Listen, I'm closing, but I want you to get this. This is the meat. I want you to get this. From now on, you need to be a strategic brother or sister in Christ. You need to be a strategic Christian. You need to come here. I'm gonna be able to say this. You need to come here with the willingness to take notes or go back and listen to it on the video or the audio. You need to come here and say, you know what? When God penetrates my heart with something that needs to be changed, I'm not only going to change it in here by coming to the altar and worshiping and testifying, but I'm going to walk out that door and I'm going to apply what's being said. And then I'm going to take an account of it. I'm going to make sure the devil knows I'm going to be tactical from now on. I'm not just going to take a word, but I'm going to take a word, let it ingest, and then I'm going to apply it, and I'm going to let it change my life. That scares the devil to death. Because he does not care if you come in here and have a great time for 2 hours and it never changes any other part of your life. But if he sees you walk out of here and become a better husband, better wife, or better child, or a better man, or better woman in this community, and a better person in this world, and a person that God can use for his callings and abilities in your life, then he will lose his mind. Some of you are going, man, that scares me to death. You know what should scare you to death? Is that trap closing on you one more time? Because some of you can't afford another one. You can't afford to start over again. This altar's open.